Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 575. It's the 2nd of September 2016. On the podcast today, I'm pleased to say we've got the CEO of Proxama, P-R-O-X, John Kennedy, answering private investor questions and talking about today's news, which was the Google certification for physical web experiences. And I'm glad, John, come on. We've been trying for a long time to get Proxama on. I've had a lot of pressure from private investors. Finally got them on. Good stuff. Also, technical analyst Nicola Duke looks at the following stocks and charts them. You can see the charts on the blog annotated by Nicola. And this is at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. So Lloyds, Royal Dutch Shell, CloudTag, Bakanga Resources, Telenow Energy. And I also have got, of course, as usual, a regular feature now, top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. If a company of yours gets in this top five, it looks good for the share price, pretty much. And there's a new number one. There was two fighting it out for number one yesterday. One of those is one over, temporarily, I've got to say. And also a new entry. I've never heard of this company. And right now, I've added it to my my watch list, because when they appear in this top five, it means something's happening. It means there's interest and good sentiment following the stock, so it's worth looking at. I'll reveal that in a bit. Also, I've got the most liked RNSs, and I've got to say, this is a company I've mentioned on the podcast before, and it's a company that features in the podcast highly today. So the most liked RNSs today, and the most disliked RNSs. And also, I've got one for your watch list, suggested by The Doc. It's not Doc Holliday who comes on the podcast, but that company is Eurasia Mining, EUA is ticker. I'll give out the reasons why The Doc suggests you put this on your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Kennedy, CEO of Proxama. That's P-R-O-X ticker. John, thank you for coming on.
No problem, Justin. Good to be here.
Now, there's been a lot of interest in stock, and people are badgering me for a long time, saying, get Proxama on the podcast. And thank you very much. You released a nice little RNS today, and at very short notice, you've agreed to come on, so I thank you for that. And we'll go through the RNS in a bit. But first and foremost, John, for anyone who's not quite aware of what Proxama does, can you give us a brief summary as to the business, please?
Yeah, we're we're a mobile payments and proximity marketing business. The RNS we're focusing on today is actually around our proximity marketing business. And basically, within that division, we deliver marketing and engagement campaigns via Beacon technology through our own platform.
Excellent. So are there sort of two streams here? Are there? There's the mobile payments and the Beacons?
Yes, it is. I mean, the mobile payment division, as is sort of widely known, is currently going through a sale process. Okay. So our focus for the future of our business is very much around the proximity marketing side.
Okay, well, so you have Beacons. We've got a couple of questions here before we get to the RNS today. Let's go with a few questions we've had submitted. So first and foremost, it says, how many Beacons are planned to be installed in 2017?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, actually. The reality of deploying Beacons, and when you've been in the business now, as we have for a number of years, you realise it isn't the number of Beacons that's important, it is where those Beacons are deployed. So a great example of that would be a powerful Beacon deployment would be one that can touch hundreds of thousands, if not millions of consumers. As opposed to the volume of Beacons. A great example of that would be our focus has and will continue to be on the City of London and getting Beacons into, let's just say, Waterloo Tube Station, where you have 90 million exits and entries every year, is very, very much a better deployment for us than putting 1,000 Beacons up in, say, Norwich or Aberdeen. Yeah. Yeah. So actually, the volume of Beacons is not important. What is important is the amount of consumers you can reach.
Exactly, yes. The density of population, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you've got 1,000 in Norfolk or somewhere and one in central London, the one in central London is hitting more people. Exactly. Okay, so it's all about quality of positioning, I suppose.
Yes.
And so at the moment, where are your Beacons located and how many are there located there?
So we're very much focused in on London. So currently we cover taxis in London, we cover tube stations in London, We cover bars and restaurants and clubs in London.
So take a step back. How do these beacons work? What do they do?
A beacon interacts with a phone. So if you have the right technology on your phone, that would be an app, or alternatively through the Google technology, which we'll come on to, which is slightly different. Through either aspect on your phone, we have the ability to push information, whether that be engagement or marketing campaigns, through to your phone. And that is quite a relatively new technology, or certainly a technology that's been around for a few years, but has really taken off in 2016, and we expect it to continue in 2017.
Okay, and how is this sort of different from just having like GPS or 4G enabled on the phone? What's the advantage here?
The biggest advantage is the proximity. So classically, we could. Through our technology, because you're on that taxi or you're on that bus, or actually you're precisely where you are on a tube station, we have the ability to market in a very, very precise way based on location, which means that brands, for instance, can do much, much more targeted marketing than maybe through something like geotechnology, where you could be 500 meters and even wider range than that. And brands absolutely have the challenge at the moment, through the challenges around mobile advertising, to be as targeted and as relevant to consumers as possible.
Yeah, so essentially, if I'm in central London there somewhere, I can open the app there and I could see what offers on for restaurants within say a couple of hundred meters. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that sort of thing can happen. One of our activities on at the moment is actually on the London buses. And if you went on that London bus, we believe you have quite a rich experience. When you get on that bus, you will get a push notification that offers the latest route advice as to whether there's a delay on that bus and how long it's going to be for you to get to your next stop. Through getting that information, we get quite a high take up of consumers that engage, and that allows then brands to advertise at that moment of engagement. It's something quite unique, we believe, in the way that marketing is done in London.
Okay. So the next two questions are quite similar, really. They said, when will they really monetize on the Beacon Network? And I'll also bunch this one in as well. Explain the income streams from proximity marketing. So if you can answer those, please, John.
Yeah, I mean, the company for over the last year, and it will continue for at least another year, we've been very fortunate to be invested through government grants, which has been excellent, actually. But it isn't the longevity of this business about being a grant business. We're monetizing the beacons now, so we do drive revenue off the back of the Beacon Network. We have many brands that advertise through that network already, and we will continue with this new technology. The Google technology will come on to. They too will see, or that technology also sees brands pay for the right to be able to use the network and deploy marketing via that network.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go into the RNS then, because it's got several likes on Vox here, and I'm reading it, and straight away it stands out because it's got Google certifies Proxama for physical web experiences. Can you explain what this means? And I read down, I was quite impressed. I actually tweeted out, "You are one of only two companies in the world, and the first in Europe to be certified by Google as a Google Location Services provider." That sounds quite impressive to me.
Yeah, and I think it's testament to all the hard work that's gone over for probably 3 or 4 months, actually, in the company and with the great team I have here, to be able to get that accreditation. It's not easy to get. And yes, we feel very privileged to be given it, but you are set very high benchmarks and bars to jump in order to be accredited. What does it mean? Well, I think the first thing it means is that it's really been since the start of the year, we've worked very closely with Google on a number of activities, including we did MyStop a few months ago, which was the first web app that Google had done. We worked in conjunction with them on that. And that has nicely now led to them being confident in us and then accrediting us with the work we've done around using and integrating with Google's own technology platform. And the very fact that they would accredit you is the trust and the confidence they have in a company such as Proxama.
Yeah. And it's a nice bit of research there by Juniper. And that's a huge number. Estimates that revenue from beacon-triggered content may reach as much as $44 billion by 2020, and that over 71% of that revenue will be driven through highly targeted and contextually aware ad-supported services. So it's definitely, you know, a growing market, isn't it?
I think that, I've been here in the company nearly 2 years. I think a year ago, it was a very different place for proximity marketing. It was fairly early stage around beacon technology. The last year, which was previously really around the iBeacon and Apple driving beacons, to see Google come into the market Q4 last year, and then to see them continue to develop, shows that this side of proximity marketing will continue to grow. And 2016 has certainly seen a big shift, and we fully expect that to be in 2017, as indeed Juniper Research says.
Yeah. Just on a personal curiosity level, what do the beacons look like? Would I have ever seen one? Are they big, small? What do they look like?
They have to be very small, because they need to be in some very weird and wonderful places and nicely hidden. Mm. They're no bigger than maybe a traditional matchbox. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Wow.
And actually can be a lot smaller than that. They can be USB type, they can be beacon type, or they can be wired into the mains. And the reason that's very important is because throughout the network, we have, you know, we will have beacons on buses, we'll have them in the underground, we'll have them in taxis, we'll have them in airports, and in all those different locations, some of them need different technologies to actually be fitted up. So they're very indiscreet, which is obviously why they're very effective for the purposes of marketing.
Excellent stuff. All right, John, that's very interesting. And, you know, if people need any more convincing as to hit the follow button on your page at Vox Markets, could you give us, in summary, sort of three reasons why they should hit follow and add it to their watch list?
Yeah, that's a good one, Justin, actually. So how would I see it? Why do I feel like I do about the company? Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is the point you raised around the sector, the proximity marketing sector, which will continue to have challenges about doing mobile marketing in a very targeted and relevant way for the consumer, so the consumer doesn't switch off. That market in that sector is growing. Okay, so it's great to be in that sector. I think, secondly, my point around that would be, I can be very proud and confident to say we're the leader in that market. I think this is a good example of why we're the leader. We have the ability to work on technologies which are either Apple-led via the iBeacon or Google-led now. And we also have the endorsement of great companies such as Google. So I think being the leader in a market is very important, that you're able to adapt to the market changes and take advantage of them. That would be my second one. I think probably the third one really is what it says on the tin when you work with some of the brands we do. So, you know, we did, and actually it was a physical web campaign we did with companies such as Skyscanner only a few weeks ago. You know, you really don't get companies such as Skyscanner or Google or Adidas and some of the other companies we've worked with without being on top of your game. And therefore, I think that endorses the company from sort of many different facets.
Marvellous. Well, listen, if people are listening right now, are convinced by those three reasons, very good reasons, then hit follow and you will get RNSs straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever Proxarma release one. John, thank you very much for coming on, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Absolute pleasure, Justin. Good to meet you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
It's a Friday, and so I have the regular chart expert, Nicola Duke, the lady with the technicals. You all right, Nick?
Hello. Yeah, thanks.
Now, just before we started recording, you said I had to apologise to some people because they've asked you for... Yeah, go on.
I want to apologise to all the people on Twitter who asked me for charts this week and who I didn't do it. I suddenly realised it was the end of August and I really hadn't had enough summer and time, and so I goofed off every afternoon and went swimming in the river instead of working. And
did
so
you really swim in the river?
Yeah, like I've been doing this thing for 2 months. I haven't had a hot bath or shower in 2 months. I've been doing the cold ones, training for wild water swimming.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a really good spot just down the road from me, which is a bit of a secret. So
wow, oh cool. All right, so
I've been doing the open water cold swimming.
Yeah, so anyway, if that's quite a nice thought, but if anyone wants to send Nicola a chart, I will put them on the Vox blog, so you can see them there.
Right.
And so hopefully, so you have a cut-off time, I suppose.
So if any charts that we all haven't covered on the show that people would like to have to start September, ask us on Twitter by noon, and we'll put them all up by 2:30 or something. That would do.
Yeah. In fact, we may have to extend the deadline because the podcast goes out. I mean, we are recording before noon now, but I mean, by the time it goes out, it may be noon. But we can tweet this anyway. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, yeah. We'll do it this afternoon. We'll put them all up this afternoon anyway. Yeah, before the end of today, any all requests, we'll put them up in one big, massive blog post.
Marvellous. All right, now looking at today's requests, though, let's have a look through the day.
I'll tell you what,
I got an email from Ian who said, "Thanks, Nicola. Because I followed her technical analysis on Lloyds. I got in, as she said, and I placed a sell order at 62 pence. And I made a nice little bit of a penny there. But I wouldn't mind asking her to look at Lloyds again, if you could." So Lloyds on the chart, Nick. L-L-O-Y. What's that?
Right. So Lloyds Bank. So there's two ways to look at it. I can make a bullish argument and I can make a bearish argument. So I think that what I'm going to say is I'm short-term a little bearish, and longer term, I think that we'll go higher. So if we put a look at a weekly chart and you measure the Fibonacci from the 2011 low, the low that we hit in June was a 61.8 Fib. Mm-hmm. And when you reverse at a 61.8 Fib, you always go at least to the 38.2 Fib, which is at 63.50. And quite often you go to the 23.6, which is at 73.30. Now, 73.30, 37 is a big pivot. I do think that ultimately that's where we'll go in Lloyds Bank. Mm-hmm. But so that's my bullish argument. Bigger picture, I'm bullish. Yeah. Shorter term, if you look at the rally we made from that July low when we bought it, so we've made an ABC equal measured move. So in other words, that swing from the 6th of July to the 15th of July is equal to the swing from the 5th of August. So mm-hmm. Normally, and especially in Elliott Wave, when you see equal measured moves like that, they're corrective. That means that could, if it rolls over here, retrace quite a long way. Plus, it's also, if you look, it's that June low, that right before the Brexit, pre-Brexit rally, it's that low. So there's a little bit of structural resistance there as well. It's, you know, that top of the opening gap after the Brexit vote. So there's a little bit, so it's a little bit iffy here. Plus, you know, on the RSI, on a daily, we're getting up there. It's a good spot to take some profits. I think that it will come back to probably about 55.50, 55.60. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit higher, 57. That's where the daily 20 moving average is. So I'd like to buy it when it comes back and tags the 20 moving average again and starts turning up again. And so this is just I picked 62 because that was a really good place to take profit. And we'll see.
Yeah, it's worth looking on different time frames. I'm looking at an hour chart there, and you can see the MACD is rolling over a bit, and you know, the RSI turning down. So, okay, cool, that's Lloyds.
Often, you know, it's in bull markets, at the start of the month, you'll see pullbacks, and then, they're very cyclical months. You'll see pullbacks at the start of the month. Just mark your levels where you'd like to buy. I think that's probably 57 and 55.50 are really good places to have a look.
Okay. All right, next one, another big stock, our FTSE 100 stock. It's a Royal Dutch Shell. RDSB, and I still hold these. I mean for long-term dividend payment. I started buying a long time ago and started, you know, scaling down, scaling up. I scaled across, scaled in, scaled out. So I'm not really. I'm looking here, maybe top up a little bit because it's hitting us. What do you think, Nick?
I think wait.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the same thing actually. Yeah.
Oil is having a bit of a correction. And we're looking for a two-wave correction lower. So, you know, if you look at Royal Dutch Shell on a weekly again, so we're going to go from the 2014 high, which was in May, down to the start of 2016 low. We've bounced up to the 618. So at a minimum, we're going to go back to the 38.2, which is 1777.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, but you can, if you can, if you have a look, there are those previous highs that we've got this inverse head and shoulders. It might fail, you know, it might not go that far, because at sort of 1846, 1850, we've got the neckline from that inverse head and shoulders bottom that we made. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see that retested. But I would say, yeah, it's got a little bit further to come, but not far. Keep an eye on oil. I think once oil bottoms and turns up again, that's when we buy, but not quite there yet. I like this bigger picture, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I've got, I set a price alert for 1850, and that's where I thought if it touches that, it's worth another look there. So that's a good call again, Nick. All right, next one. We're going to smaller stocks now. In fact, can we shift them around? Because I know technical analysis works better on bigger stocks. There's just more liquidity there and they perform better technically.
It does. You know? But you know, in the AIM stocks, it seems to work. You know, the targets work very well. And it seems to work in the ones everyone's talking about as well. So,
yeah, there are an exception to the rule, like CloudTag, for example. We'll go to Macanga Resources in a bit. Can we look at CloudTag next, CTAG? Because I think you liked it. But on a short-term level, last week, I think you weren't...
Well, it was making a wedge, and there was a really good chance of it going lower, but I said above 6.2, it's a breakout long, and that's exactly what it did, and it's gone. CloudTag, it went through our first target. The next target is between 10.95 and 11.33, so we're not there yet. We've got a bit further to go. Yeah. But, you know... when you look at the move it's had this week, you know, you should be protecting profits now.
Looks yeah, like- I mean RSI 86, so it's yeah, you know, it's quite it's hot.
It's yeah, hot.
But there's a lot of interest in that stock, and you know, when you've got a lot of people, you know, and I'm talking, you know, almost contagious interest, you know, and when people start buying in, and I say always trying to avoid a spike. But like, you never can tell with this.
Yeah.
You know?
I know a lot of people were long, and hopefully a lot of people bought this when it broke above 6.2. Yeah, it's not quite there yet, but around 10.95, 11.33, I would be projecting profits.
Okay, we got just a small chart here on Macanga, because they've only just listed back in June. But it's MKA, Macanga Resources. So you haven't got a lot to work with there, Nick. But
okay, well, this is a really good lesson in... this is a really good lesson in what you do when you haven't got a lot to work with, or what I do when I haven't got a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. So we can draw the opening price in Macanga, which was 3.625 or 3.624. And you can see that on a daily, we've never had a daily close below that. In fact, twice we dipped into it. 22nd of July, 1st of August, and then we did it again on the 16th. We had a dip below it on the open, but we rallied back. So that's quite an interesting buy level, so yeah, that opening price. So mark, when you've got not much to go on, mark that price. And then the close price on that opening day was 3.999. It's like four, basically. And that's a massive pivot. I would say more than 50% of the days this stock has tagged that price. So whether you sell it because it's gone way beyond it, or buy it, like, it always comes back to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
good. So that's a really good pivot. But I've marked the fibs. So I think any dip back to that price is obviously being defended. So down at 3.6 is a buy. I think if it fails, though, it's going to make a sort of bullish Gartley pattern and is a screaming buy at about 3.05.
Yeah, well, do you know what? They initially raised money, I think, at 3.3 when they came to, you know, the placing to come to the market. So that area there.
If I had a trade set up, I think if it fails and goes well below that opening price, that'll scare a lot of people out. I think it's a screaming buy at 3.05 and then back to the resistance again at 5.13. And if you draw the highs to the lows from that opening first swing, from the low to the high, again, we're bouncing in those fib zones. So that would be my trade.
All right, sorry.
Buy at 3.05 and sell it at 5.12.
All right, and the last one is stock I hold, doing very well, and I interviewed the CEO yesterday, Tony Gilby. This is a guy doing coal bed methane gas, right? He's the first company he took from sub 20 million market cap, sold it for 5 billion to Shell. Second one, he did pretty much the same, sub 20 million, sold it over a billion to BG Group. And now he's doing the same pretty much in Botswana. And he did say on the podcast that the potential here is bigger. So, you know, and there's only a 20 million market cap again. So this guy, he's got a track record of doing very well in this. So TLOU, what do you reckon on the chart there?
I really like this one, but it's a bit overkicked.
Bit toppy.
It's a bit toppy. I've got a big price marked on my chart at 6.24, 6.25. Mm. I would definitely buy it if it comes back there. But I don't, if the interest is hot, it might not. So my other level that I would be looking at is 7.22.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it here today. It looks like on the RSI's topped over. I'd like to see a bit more of a correction, but definitely this is a buy dip stock.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Marvelous, Nicholas.
I've got a chart for people to see.
Yes, and Nick will send all the charts over and any other charts. I'll put them on the blog there, and you can look at the charts and then listen to the podcast and see what we're talking about. Because it almost sometimes, if you're on a train somewhere, on a car, and we're listening to talk about charts.
I sometimes think people must listen to this and think, what the hell are they talking about?
So. Yeah. Well, but I mean, what I'm trying to do is nice that you give target prices so people can keep that in their head, you know, which is a nice thing. All right.
Well,
thanks.
You know, it's not profit if you let it all come back again, is it? So.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Lovely. Cheers,
Nick. Don't forget, ask us for the ones that we didn't cover. We'll put them all in a big blog post this afternoon.
Yep. Get back in that river, Nick.
I'm not going today.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at number five, who's been in there a while, quite a few times actually. It's featured in the top five. It's been number one a couple of times. It's EVRH or EVR Holdings, Virtual Reality. At four, brand new entry. Never seen this company before, never heard of it. And so I've added it right now to my watch list because it already looks interesting. And if they're in this list, there's something going on here. That's right, I know. So it's ARIA. I'm not sure if you say it. ARIA, Natural Language Generation, NLG. Do some research. Add it to your watch list. At three, Talao Energy, up strongly again today. And there's a tweet you should look at that I sent out at Vox Podcast, is my Twitter account there. Check out this tweet, all right? And it's from Arrow Energy. This is the former company of Tony Gilby, now the CEO of Talao Energy. And they sold that company for $5 billion Australian dollars, which is still quite a lot of money, you know, even in Aussie dollars terms. And he started that company sub $20 million market cap. That's one of two companies he's done that with. And so it's worth checking out Talao. And, you know, he thinks there's more potential here in Botswana than he's had with the last two companies he sold for over $1 billion. At number two, yesterday's number one, the ever-popular CloudTag, CTAG. And at number one, they're on the podcast yesterday, CEO Dave Whitby Andalas, ADL, is the most followed company on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. The volume of stock traded yesterday, absolutely phenomenal. Up around 300 million shares traded in that company alone. Okay, here's the most liked RNSs and the most disliked RNSs in the last 24 hours on the site. And so the most liked was, I'm pleased to say, Proxama, and that was the Google certification. The most disliked, still there. More people are now clicking on it. It's African Potash subscription and bridge loan update, most disliked RNS over the last 24 hours. Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list has been submitted by The Doc. And it's Eurasia Mining, EUA. And what does the company do? Platinum production due to commence within the next few days. Various PGM and gold opportunities across Russia. How many shares does the company have an issue? 1.4 billion, approximately. Current price and market cap? It's 0.525 pence, circa 7.5 market cap. 7.5 million, that is, of course. What revenue, profit, or loss does the company generate? Imminent profitable revenue from platinum production at West Kytlim, or Kytlim. How much cash or debt does the company have? Recent funding results in the company being well-funded, well-financed going into production. lists three reasons why you think people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Reason one, literally days away from producing first platinum. Two, widespread expert opinion of platinum crunch coming due to problems in South Africa. And three, the company have a JV with Metal Tiger on their Semenovsky. No, it's the gold tailings project. So that's Semenovsky. All right, so there's three reasons why they're at MT watch list. That's Eurasia Mining, EUA. Check them out. Maybe hit that follow button next to them on your app or website there, and that way you'll receive RSS straight to the front screen of your phone whenever they release them, within seconds, hopefully. Thank you very much for listening. That's it for the podcast of the week. Hopefully there will be a weekend edition coming soon. So stay tuned. Muchos appreciados. Yeah.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.